Hi, my name's Alex. I'm an alcoholic.
Yes.
Just, by the way, I feel like really creeped out being up here. So yeah, just know AA is not religious. If you're new, we're not. We're not. But this is just backdrop. So I'm like creeped out. So AA saved my life, and I'll try to tell you guys a little bit of my experience, strength, and hope, and hopefully say something that will resonate with you. And so my sobriety date is December 20th, 2007. So this December, God willing, I'll have 7 years. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, currently sponsoring one girl right now, taking her through the steps. And my home group is Young People's Diversity. It meets at 8:30 p.m. at the Hazelden Center, 283 West Broadway. It's an LGBTQ meeting, so I would highly encourage anyone to go if you identify with that. A little bit about my story. I'm so creeped out, I'm sorry. this is too religious-y. So I'm not from New York. I was born and raised in Chicago. And I moved to Phoenix, Arizona around the time of high school. And then I moved to New York when I was 21. And I'm an alcoholic, so that means I can't control my drinking. And our literature talks about it as like a phenomenon of craving that happens when I'm taken away from a drink. And they describe in the literature as an allergy being an abnormal reaction to alcohol. And I definitely have that. And I've kind of had it all my life. And true to this meeting, I've only had one legal drink, so I definitely qualify to be here. So I did a lot of my drinking before I turned 21. So don't feel like if you're in here and you're looking for something and you feel like you relate but you're too young, you're probably not if you're in this room, you know. But I can't tell you what you are. I started drinking like really heavily when I was like 12 or 13. I remember my first drink, I was like 6 or 7, and it was like Christmas. And someone handed me like a bottle of champagne, and I was like, and I like downed it instantly without thinking. And then people were like, "Well, yo, this kid is crazy. What the fuck?" And I was just like, "More." And and it was just like there wasn't a thought to it. It was just like immediacy of like this just like instant, innate, sort of like hardwired thing with alcohol. And alcohol made my life powerless. I was powerless over alcohol way before I picked up a drink. I come from a dysfunctional family. I'm a child of an alcoholic, two alcoholics. I was verbally and sexually abused growing up, as well as physically, and also neglected. So I have a lot of scars from alcohol, and my life was affected by it way before I even picked up. And I just say that for identification. So if anyone's like struggling to like come out with that stuff, it took me a few years in sobriety to really open up about what happened to me growing up. So you're not alone if you're out there. I don't know. I was just always kind of like an odd kid, I guess you could say. And I remember the first time I really got drunk. I just remember we got hold of some liquor. It was me and two kids from the block, and I don't even know where it came from, but I just do remember that immediately when I had that like sort of like settling, you know, that like twilighty buzz you get. I just remember feeling I had arrived, you know. And drugs are a huge part of my story because it's a lot easier to get drugs than it is alcohol when you're not 21. And it just quickly grew from like this like, you know, someone once told me in NA, they said, it's magic, then it's medicine, and then it's misery. And I really identify with that because alcohol saved my life in a lot of ways. It was a really just kind of like great experience. It was fun, you know, you just got like stupid, obliterated, and laughed about the stupidest shit. And it started kind of like cycling out of control because I'm the type of alcoholic that like once I pick up, like, that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm not very functioning. Like, people drink and they go to work hungover. It's like, no, I'm just drinking. And when that stops, like, then I'll worry about life later. And so eventually dropped out of high school. I had a couple run-ins with the law because, you know, I'm a badass. No, I'm just kidding. It's awful. Sorry. It's kind of quiet in here, so I was like, eh. I'm not talking too much. Maybe someone's listening. No, it's not cool. It's not cool. Incarceration sucks. But, it really does. But, I had run-ins with the law. I constantly stole. I wasn't employable. I got fired from a pizza delivery job because I couldn't deliver pizzas on time, which is kind of sad but funny. I think the most part, like the most like symptomatic part of alcoholism is like how we feel. And I just felt so empty and alone. And it's like that thing when they put like monkeys in a test lab and they press the button for like the little nicotine or something, and then they just keep pressing it, you know, eventually to show like how addiction works. That's like how I am with alcohol. It's like I don't have any built-in moderator. And around the time, my biological mom, she started to find recovery. And she met my now stepmom. And my stepmom's sober now with almost 20 years in sobriety. And when I met her, she said, hey, I think you have a problem with alcohol. And I was just like, you know, I think I knew I was an alcoholic, but I just didn't give a fuck. You know, excuse my French. Because I was just like, okay, I'm an alcoholic, so what? Life sucks, who cares? You know, like, you know, I think, and someone told me that's like a step zero. It's like the desire to change. Like, you are in pain and you don't want to be in pain. That's like step zero. I mean, that's not like an official AA thing, but, you know. I definitely didn't care for a long time that I was in pain. So I went to my first meeting when I was like 16. I instantly related. I thought you guys were really nice people. I thought you guys were stupid because you're happy. And I thought that happy people weren't smart because you couldn't be smart if you knew what I knew about life. And, you know, I just felt like I was above it. I had too much differentiating uniqueness. And I kind of struggled with sobriety for a while. I didn't go to meetings that much. I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't hang out with anyone sober. I still hung out with all my using pals. And this kind of led me down like a bottom. And one of the last real physical bottoms I had was I picked up after trying to stay sober. And I blacked out for an entire week. Like, I didn't know what happened to my body. I have like little glimpses of like what happened. Like, oh, we should get like this to augment the drunkenness and then we'll go to this party. And I woke up a week later, and I was in my mom's bathroom, and the Beatles were in the background, I don't know why, and half my head was numb, and I was bleeding from the nose, and I thought I was going to die. And there's a bunch of drugs, like, in a pile in front of me. And I just remember having this moment of clarity, like, if this is what my life looks like, there must be a problem. Like, this is what I'm going to leave behind, is like, you know. It's like, oh, your mom found her kid in the fucking bathroom dead. Like, that's your legacy. And that made me really sad, but it didn't keep me sober. So, long story short, I did get some time together, and I moved to New York. And I relapsed here around December 2007. And I relapsed because, you know, the same thing that always happened when I relapsed. I didn't go to meetings. I wasn't being honest with people. I just wasn't taking suggestions. You know, they have this saying in here, self will run riot. And my life was like that. And my last drink, I just remember vividly, I was trying to control my drinking, to control my life that had nothing to do with drinking. And, like, I just remember feeling so hopeless, like, wow, like, I'm trying to control my drinking so I can prove to people I don't need to be in AA, so I can take control of, like, my finances. Like, it was so crazy. And, you know, I was, like, suicidal, and I had a lot of problems. And I came back in, and that was almost 7 years ago. And the difference today and what I did then is I took all the suggestions that I didn't want to take. I got a sponsor. I started going to meetings. I started working the 12 steps, which saved my life. Step one was really easy for me. I knew I was an alcoholic and my life was unmanageable. Step two was really hard because I didn't have a concept of a higher power. Because I thought, if God doesn't exist, if all this shit that happened to me as a kid happened. But really, my experience with step two was that it has nothing to do with God, it has everything to do with me and how I control my life. And if I continue to run my life the way that I think it should be run, I'm going to get drunk. And for me, that was like my step two. It's like, I can't handle my life on life's terms. And then step three was simply, am I willing to do what AA asks of me to stay sober? And I did it to the best of my ability, and I'm still here. And I can say, honestly, I don't regret any day sober. And, you know, through working the 12 steps, I've overcome a lot in sobriety. I've watched people fucking die in this program, and that's like the craziest thing, because you're sitting next to someone in a meeting, and then suddenly you're hearing about their memorial service, and you're just like, you know, and the common denominator here is this disease. I've gotten jobs, I've lost jobs, I've moved way more than I want to, way more than I wanted to, but I'm in a really cool place now, which is great. But I am a woman of transgender experience. I came out in sobriety and started transitioning because that was something I was also struggling with before even I picked up a drink. And I think alcohol really helped combat a lot of that dysphoria I felt. And AA carried me through it. And some people had opinions, some people stopped talking to me, but for the most part, everyone was pretty supportive, and I'll always thank AA for kind of carrying me through the beginning. And, you know, as a result, I've been able to face a lot of truths about myself through the steps and through continual sobriety. You know, I've entered therapy. I've been in therapy for over a year now, maybe two, because I started around when I transitioned. And I've been able to face a lot of those things in the past that I wasn't able to handle before. And I think the most important thing is I can live life sober and be relatively happy and not crazy. And I think that's kind of the magic, you know. I think people at times kind of struggle sometimes asking themselves, why do we keep doing this shit? And it's really easy. You just don't do it for a while, and then you see how crazy you get. And then you're like, okay, guess I have to go to meetings and be among the crazies, because I am crazy, you know. I mean, I never thought that. Okay, maybe I have, but you know, no. I mean, like, you know, you have to, like, humble yourself. You can't even, I don't know. It's hard to explain. You know, but it doesn't work if you, you know, you don't even need to believe it works. You just need to do it. That's been my experience. When I first got sober, I was agnostic, and I've had bouts with a sense of a higher power. And to me, I'm kind of more agnostic atheist today, and I'm exploring other spiritual paths for me. But I can say that I can have existential crises in sobriety and still stay sober. And sobriety has just been, you know, what do they say? I'm having a mental... Oh, beyond your wildest dreams. That's really true, because if you were to tell me what my life would look like today, I'd be like, no way. And, you know, sobriety in my experience has a way of, like, surprising you. And we learn a lot about ourselves. So I would say, if you're new or if you've been around for a while and you're struggling, just sit tight, you know? Like, shit changes and it gets better. Like, anything's better than being out there and being drunk, you know? Because when I was drunk, I never had a chance. And, yeah, so you're not alone. You can get through anything sober. If you, whatever that is that's in your closet that's like fucking torturing you, whether it's like sexuality or gender or something that's happened to you or whatever, like, it's okay. Like, somebody in AA has dealt with it. And I hope I've helped someone tonight. I really thank this group, because this group, I counted days in this room, and this was my home group for a few years. And yeah, love y'all. Thanks.